Thank you, Pastor. It is good to be here tonight. I'm very, very thankful. I will let you know that I'm praying for Brother Rackley. And if you came to hear him tonight, I'm sorry. But, I know that God makes no mistakes. And I'm trusting him that he will take his servant and take his word and do with it as he will. I'm going to ask you to turn to a handful of scriptures with me tonight. The first one is going to be 1 Corinthians 15:58. Sometimes the simplest of scriptures, sometimes the most common scriptures, can be overlooked for the power that they have in them. Familiarity sometimes can be our enemy, and we can miss out on what the Lord intends for us to hear and for what He intends for us to have in this service tonight if we brush off anything that God delivers to us from His Word. I hope you read your Bible. I hope you memorize the Scripture. I hope that you're very familiar with it. But don't ever let that be a stumbling block to what the Spirit of God would like to do in your heart tonight. Your spiritual life matters. And no matter what you have behind you, the devil cannot change that. But he's interested in corrupting your testimony. And he is interested in causing you to stumble. Someone said recently that you can spend 30, 40 years, even in the ministry, serving God, being faithful, and you do one stupid thing, and nobody remembers the 30 or 40 years of faithfulness. All their minds are attracted to is that one incident that God holds you accountable for and that you are responsible for staining and marring your testimony. This is a preacher's meeting, and God laid a message on my heart for preachers. Maybe it's a warning. Maybe it's a witness to let somebody know that God knows what you're doing. I want you to look with me, 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." If ever there was a day that we need men of God to be steadfast, it's today. I remember hearing statements like that all my life. I've been saved since I was an 11-year-old boy. I surrendered to preach today, 1985. I was at the Faith Baptist camp as a 12-year-old boy in Resaca, Georgia, and I surrendered my life to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, I believe that no matter how many times I've heard preaching and the warnings and the admonition of men of God, we need it more today than we ever have before. Men of God, our people are counting on us. Our families are looking to us. Our churches, though they may be difficult at times and the problems are genuine and the struggles are real, they need a man of God to be in that pulpit. They need a man of God to represent Jesus Christ outside of the pulpit just as much as in the pulpit. And I challenge you tonight to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'd like to turn your attention to one other little verse of two of Scripture, and then we'll get to our text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul emphasizes what I'm preaching tonight, and I want to give you what he has said under inspiration of the Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look in verse number 10. Notice how the conversation begins. He says, "Ye are witnesses." Witnesses of what? He said, "And God also." So the church and God is a witness. 1 Thessalonians 2:10. "Ye are witnesses and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved." ourselves among you. He's speaking about the men of God. He's speaking about himself. And you say, preacher, we should not, you know, beat our own drum and toot our own horn. Well, I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. I was a Benjamite. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. And men of God, for us to hang our head and pretend that we have not been given a calling that has not only called us to something greater, but it causes us to become something greater. And then for us to be an example of the believers, the Apostle Paul said, the men of God are standing before us tonight and the people are looking at our lives. And Paul said, you can mark it down, friend. I've lived a holy life in front of you. Amen. Amen. Now, you're not going to get that kind of a testimony if in the pulpit you're one thing and out of the pulpit you're something else. If while you're in the pulpit, we demand and deserve all the accolades and all the applause and all the attention of the people, but when we're outside of the pulpit, we become some other different animal. Amen. The Bible says, he said, I was holy and just and unblameable that we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Now, we've got no problem as preachers with that second part of this exhortation. We don't have a problem telling you how to do, but he said, let me tell you something. You get to hold the clipboard, and you get to do the checking of the box, and you get to watch my life. And you get to examine the men of God. You get to say, based on the Word of God, yes, preacher, you're right. You have been living holy. You have been just. You have been unblameable. And I realize that Timothy and Titus were given some great lists of things that I believe are the qualifications of the men of God. But I want to take in another step tonight, that I found some scripture that God may help us, that we'll not just lean on something that we have leaned on for a long time. And yes, thank God, I believe in every qualification of the preacher. But let me tell you something. Just because you've checked that box doesn't mean that you are a man of God. Amen. There's a difference between preachers and men of God. Amen. I'll just be honest with you tonight. I want to be more than just a preacher. Amen. I have been in the building with men of God that had something that I wanted. I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I've heard the man of God preach thunder from the Word of God. I've seen God move, and I tell you what, I'm hungry for it. I'm thirsty for it. I want to see it again. Amen. Amen, that's right. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians. Paul set the example, and he says that we're held accountable. And this is where I'll be tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And it's all right here. Look with me, please, down in verse number 3. Let's look in verse number 1 to begin with. He wrote two verses ahead of it, so we might as well read them. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Look with me now in verse number 3. The Bible tells us that our ministry is very, very important. He said, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. How many times through the years have men of God had to get up on a Sunday morning after having heard throughout the last week of some other scandal or some other nonsense or some other preacher who has traded in his permanent, his eternal calling for some temporary gain or for some satisfaction that he got here on this earth, and we have to come to church and try to pull things back together and put the pieces back together and try to restore confidence in the position of a man of God when some charlatan has been abusing his position. And God help us tonight that the ministry not be blamed. Amen. I want you to look at this verse. Verse 3. Preachers' wives, preachers' children, church members, God help us all. He said, give no offense in anything. In anything. I'm going to try to preach everything I've got on my heart tonight, but it may just end up being a series and we just have to come back next year. But the fact is, we are under a biblical mandate, men of God, that we would mind our business, amen, and that we would be so careful as we walk circumspectly that we not give any occasion for the enemy to cause shame to be placed upon the ministry, amen. Amen, that's right. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry not be blamed. We should not be the reason that they mock the pulpit. We should not be the reason why they say, oh, that's just old brother so-and-so. Oh, that's just Pawpaw. Oh, that's just my uncle. He gets that way when he gets in a big way of preaching. Oh, he don't. Listen, they know us outside of the pulpit. And so you and I better be careful to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil and we're to be holy people living in unholy days. The Bible tells us that we're to give no offense in anything. What we say, the things that we say in this pulpit, somehow they get translated and interpreted out on the street. And the next thing you know it, the ministry is blamed because we popped off with some stupidity in the pulpit. Amen. This is not the comedy barn. This is not story time with Uncle Tony. This is not a place for me to promote my personal passions. This is not a place for me to push my agenda. This is not a place for me to preach my politics. This is the pulpit. This is the place where the men of God are to be explaining the Word of God to the people of God. And look, if you can't get out of God's way, He can get you out of His way and put somebody there that'll do the job. Amen. That's right. God help us. Amen. Amen. I'm afraid that many preachers, and I fear this for me, that we never get to live in the fullness of the blessings of the ministry because we're so busy trying to make it work for us. I'm as human as anyone else. I appreciate the comforts, but God didn't call me to be comfortable. Amen. God didn't call me. I remember I was 12 years old, buddy. I didn't know a thing about preaching. I grew up around it. I've been around my whole life, but I had never preached. All I knew was there's something that I just, you know, I want something in my heart said, that's what you want. That's what you want. I didn't know. I just knelt down. I said, God, that's what I want. And if you'll use me, I'll be used. Amen. I can promise you at 12, they weren't beating my door down and sending me letters in the mail inviting me to come preach everywhere. It was a long time before I got to preach anywhere. And I'm surprised that I get to preach when I do get to preach. Are you listening? Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I knew what God had called me to do. And to this day, I shudder to think that I am one word, one foolish sentence, one stupid action from away from ruining everything that I desire to be for the glory of God. Are you listening? We can mess it up in a moment. We can turn the ears off in a moment. What good is a room full of people if their ears are turned off? And if you've turned them off because you want to say some racial joke, you go ahead. But that's not what God called you to do. Amen. If you want to, listen, if you want to turn ears off because you want to talk about women and how stubborn or rebellious or whatever you want to say just to get your little suspenders popping and get your ego bloated, I'm telling you what's the truth. We are not called to that. God says we are called to be unblameable. We're to be holy men, men that can say something from God's word and it matters in the hearts of God's people. Amen. Amen. That's right. It's not a place of self-promotion. We got a little side gig on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and we can get up here and we can do our little horse and pony show, but God help us. I'm gonna tell you what, listen, if you listen to yourself, you'd realize you're not that good of a comedian anyway. Get back to preaching. Amen. God help us. Amen. That's right. I don't want to miss the fullness of the blessings of the ministry, because I was more interested in my time slot to stand up here in front of you so you could see me and maybe I get to sign your Bible after it's over. I'm not into that. Amen. Recognition, comfort, demanding respect, using this place to promote and bully. It's not for that. Can I remind you that the gentlest, the kindest Christ-like person among us ought to be the men of God. By the way, it will be the men of God. It may not be every preacher, but it will be the men of God. Amen, that's right. In verse number 4 down through verse number 10, I'm just going to go through them as quick as I can, and I hope that's all right. But I'm telling you, we can look here in this passage of Scripture and find out what it takes for you and I to be operationally steadfast as men of God. Oh, I know, preacher, I'm the husband of one wife, sober, got my children, all those things are very important. They are utmost importance. The whole list is, by the way. All the list. Amen. Amen. And I don't know, but I just tell you what, If God meant that you could be married one at a time, He'd have said one at a time. Amen. The husband of one wife is exactly what that means. Amen. And you listen, I believe that, but I want to share with you from this passage how that works in the day-to-day. The operational steadfastness of a man of God. How can I be this kind of a man? Look at what he says in verse number 4. Verse number 4, he gives us 4 things that I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you how to do it. Amen. All right. The Bible says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In much patience. When's the last time someone said, preacher, you are the most patient man I've ever met in my life? Well, it ought to be a regular basis. This is what we are to be known for. This is like going to a football game and expecting to see a football. He says, I want you to approve yourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. Not only that, but also in afflictions. He said, well, I didn't sign up for problems. Well, you need to go get you a job doing something way different than this. Amen. Because the minute you decide, listen, I think the minute you decide to be a preacher, you put a little target on yourself. But if you decide to be a man of God, the target's going to be much bigger than you are. And every fiery dart of the wicked one is coming your way. And I can assure you, he's got good at throwing those darts. And he don't miss very often. Amen, that's right. He said, I want you to be approved as men of God, ministers of God, in afflictions. What do you do? How well do you handle and respond to afflictions? Anybody can wail and moan and groan and bellyache and complain and tell everybody and hope everybody will feel sorry for you and maybe they'll take a love offering up for you. But the fact is, we're supposed to be exemplary when it comes to afflictions. Amen. Amen. I don't mean it don't hurt. That just means it hurts, but you still got to go. That means that it hurts, but you still have to lead. That means that it hurts, but you still have to be out front showing the rest of the people of God how the grace of God is sufficient. Amen. Amen. You say, but I'm praying, asking God to get rid of that. Paul did, that's fine. But when God says no, you better just buckle down and just accept the grace of God and move on for the glory of God. Amen. How well do you handle and respond to afflictions? What do you do, he said, with your needs in necessities? And notice all of these are multiplied or plural. It'd be easy for us to know, okay, I've got that one need that's going to happen in my lifetime. By the, whenever I turn 32 years old, I'm going to have a need. It's going to be about a six-month need. But once I get through that, it's smooth sailing the rest of the way. Well, I'm 50 years old, and I still experience need. Amen, that's right. I've been pastoring for nearly 30 years, and I still experience afflictions and needs. And you know what happens? You're supposed to be exemplary. You're supposed to be the example. You're supposed to be honoring the position that God has called you in, the office that He's put you in. What do you do with your needs? And then he said, how well do you handle your distresses? Hey, listen, you got to do it right. And you have to do it right every time. You say, I don't like that. We'll get you a job. Amen. This is the calling, the operational day-to-day of the man of God. That he is to be the example, not just on his day where he's working, but every single day of our lives we have been called. By the way, the higher the calling, the holier the calling, the harder the calling, but it's still a calling, and I wouldn't trade the calling. Amen. Amen. Are you with me tonight? The Bible tells us that we're supposed to be exemplary in how we handle distresses. Again. And again, this is plural, through the years. My wife and I, from time to time, we get to reminisce and tell stories to our kids and to those around us. Tell about, you know, when we first got married and I was pastoring at 21 years of age. 21, I pity those people. 21 years of age. My wife was 18 and we were pastoring in West Virginia. And we pastor then all the story we could tell and all the afflictions and the needs and how God supplied. And boy, I'm telling you, we've got our own stories. The porch full of groceries and we didn't know where they came from. We've had Brother Krantz, I think, was there when that happened for us one time, wasn't it? Amen. Thank God. Listen, I'm telling you, God has done His part. And you and I need to be faithful and responsible to maintain and hold the colors high. Amen. Amen. I hope I'm not losing you with this. The Bible tells us that we have an obligation to maintain some integrity, to maintain this office, to maintain the purity and the blameless position that He's called us to be in, even though we are constantly afflicted, constantly put under distress, constantly being put in a position of need. God says, how well are you handling that? Amen. Amen. That's right. No matter how difficult it may get. And I'm not speaking from a position having never experienced these things. But even if I was, the truth remains. The truth remains. No matter how difficult it may get, no matter how hard the road may seem to be, or it may legitimately be, a true minister of God must maintain not only the right position, we're not going to compromise this King James Bible, but at the same time, there's no excuse for having an improper disposition. So you don't know what kind of day I've had. Well, you don't know what kind of day your people's had, but you expect them to do right or get in the altar and get right. Amen. God help us. We probably need to spend a little more time in the altar ourselves. Fact is, God expects us to be the example that we're to hold the right position, but we're also to have the right disposition. Amen. That's right. The Bible tells us that we are to be the light. We're to be the salt. We're to be the light. We're to be the example. We're the under-shepherd. We're the one that they look to because they don't have a physical representation. We've been put in an office that says, you follow me. That means you imitate me as I imitate Christ. If I'm doing it, you do it. If I pout, what do you think they're going to do? If I bellyache and complain, what do you think they're going to do? If I, what do you think they're going to do? God, help us, amen. To God be the glory. We're obligated to have the right actions. And those are the easy ones. Being able to plan my actions, well, that's easy. But it's that reaction. It's when it stings and your eyes are blurry with tears and you don't realize hardly what just happened, but God still says, up, up, up. You've got to maintain. Amen. No wonder he said, not a novice. Amen. Amen. Look, I'm not patting me on the back or really anybody else. I'm just exalted as Paul did. I esteem my office. And the office says, there's just some things you can't do. And dip your colors is one of them. Amen. That's right. Portray your bad reaction. Can't do it. Amen. Paul gave us some personal experiences in verse 5. He says, here's what's happened to me. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting. He said, that's been my experience. Anybody had some experiences? Have you been through it? Have you felt like you went through it and your family went through it? And boy, I tell you what, it's one thing when you go through it. It's another thing when you see your family having to go through it. And you want to, boy, I tell you what you want to do. You want the red blood American man inside of you wants to roll up his sleeves and start pummeling some people. But we remember, the Bible says, we're not allowed to do that. Boy, it's a hard thing sometimes, isn't it? Boy, I'm telling you what, look, you say, well, I just can't bite my tongue. Well, you might want to resign. Amen. It's not easy. Hey, it's easy to be a preacher. That's the easy part. You can get you a book of outlines and get you a good story to tell, and you can wrap it up with some kind of little heart-rendering thing. Man, you'll have them. I mean, especially down here in the South, man, we're sucker for a good story. Amen. I'm telling you what, I love a good story. And I'll sit there with my mouth open, and I'll follow you all the way to the hook, line, and sinker, and you'll get me every time. I'm telling you, I can cry on just a notice, just a small note. I love, but you know what? Anybody can be a preacher. But it's going to take this to be a man of God. The operational expectations of a steadfast man of God. Paul said, here's my experiences. You've got some? Yeah, I've not had what he had. Pastor Jarvis, I've not experienced what you've experienced. Pastor Mullins, I haven't experienced what you've experienced. My pastor's here tonight. I haven't been through what he's been through. But I can tell you this, I've had my own. And the devil knows exactly where to poke you, doesn't he? He knows exactly where to harass you. But the fact is, we've been given a mandate from heaven that we would not dip our colors or bow under the pressure. God help us. Let me give you this and I'll be done. I've got some points to get to. I'm just preaching. Amen. Look in verse number 5 again. Paul illustrates. He said, in stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors, in watchings, in fastings. And you and I, as Paul, we continue to illustrate our ongoing qualification before the people of God. Look, you say, well, over there in Timothy it said to be blameless. Well, that's not just a one-time, last, you know, year, Monday morning. No, that's ongoing. We have an ongoing obligation before God's people. They're holding the clipboard. Paul said, you look, you're a witness. God's a witness. You're a witness how holily and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you, not among the brethren. It's easy for me to give you a pass because I kind of know where you're coming from, and I might be pressured into giving you a little bit of a leeway, whereas the people of God have not been given that. No, no, no. No, if I mess up, you expect me in the altar to get right with God. And if a preacher is not where he ought to be with God, he needs to get in this altar so he can get right with God to be the man of God that God intended for him to be. Amen. Amen, that's right. Amen. Ongoing illustration of our qualifications. no matter how difficult it gets. Really. And again, I'm not preaching from a platform of having never hurt or lost or grieved or experienced. I'm telling you that God did not make, He did not qualify His word by your experience. He does not diminish His expectations because you have an issue. Amen. I'm afraid a lot of preachers want to spend a lot of time glorying in the problems that they faced. And really, it's a psychological move. If I can get you to feel sorry for me, then I might get you with my hook in the end. Now I know I'm showing you how the magic tricks work, and I'm telling this behind the scenes stuff. But I have lived long enough to where I don't care. I've been called to be a preacher. I've been called to be a man of God. And I think maybe it's a little bit significant for me today because today's the anniversary of when I got called. And I hope that 12-year-old me would be proud of the 50-year-old me. Are you listening? Amen. But more than that, I want him to be proud of me as I'm preaching His Word tonight. And instead of trying to share with you some heart-rending something or other to make you feel sorry for me so I can get you in my hook and get you in an altar of emotion that doesn't change your life, I want to get you with the Word of God. And when you leave today, there'd be a boldness about us that we go from here. Yes, we're still preachers, but we are becoming men of God. Amen. Amen. God allowed a difficulty in your life, as He has in all of our lives. It must be part of the plan. It must be part of the plan. Amen. I don't believe in Calvinism whatsoever. But I do believe that as a child of God, that everything that happens in my life is first Father filtered. Amen. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He's got a plan, and His plan is sometimes going to include some ingredients that we would not have wished upon ourselves. But as we look back, somebody said it earlier, He makes no mistakes. And when we look back from heaven's point of view, it's going to be okay. Amen. Today it may be bad. Today it may be painful. Today the chips may be flying and the edges may be being knocked off. And we might feel ourselves cast down, but we're not cast out. Amen. We're not in despair tonight. We're not rolling up the white flag of surrender. We're saying, Lord, whatever You choose to do to me is Yours. Is for my good and for Your glory. Amen. Amen. I've got no sad stories or belly aches. I agree with you. It does hurt to have a family leave you, church. It hurts to lose a baby. It hurts to feel betrayed. And the list goes on. It just hurts. It hurts. It hurts. But nowhere in that have I been given a free ticket to respond like me. We are ambassadors for Christ. I don't have the right to show my colors and to give them a piece of my mind or to in any way inflict upon them me. How can I endure hardness as a good soul? How can I keep a good spirit? How can I maintain a godly testimony? How can I show my family's with me tonight? How can I show my family that God is real and what He's allowing in my life, which includes some pain and includes some suffering? How can I share that with them without turning them away from the cause of Christ? But I tell you, as a pastor, father, one of the greatest fears we have is that somehow or another we've shared and showed a side of this that's going to cause our kids to back off. Look, you can't hide the pain, and neither should you hide the grace that it takes to get you through the pain. Amen. You can't stop what people have said or what they're going to do or what they have done. And you may have to come home and have your wife to help you pull the arrows out and let the kids help bandage up the wounds. But the fact is, we tell them, children, let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven who's called us to this ministry. And if Jesus would go through what he went through, the least I could do is represent him and stand up straight and tall, no matter what the enemy may say, no matter what the naysayers may say, no matter what it hurts or how it hurts. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. How can I live in such a way that when other people see me, they see the abundance of grace supplied during my darkest trials? I'm here to tell you tonight, preachers or men of God, if I have to choose, boy, there's some great orators. There's some great preachers. But I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. The greatest man ever born of a woman outside the Lord Jesus Christ, he was dressed in camel skin, ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached a whole lot of that. Amen. There was not very much tiptoeing through the tulips with him. There wasn't a whole lot of polish and shine. And I'm for it. I'm for it. Man, if you've got an education, use that tool for the glory of God. But don't lean to your own understanding. Amen. I want to share with my life story that what God has allowed in our lives, not only in mine, but in every man of God, and then we can share it with our people, and they can know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. There is a God who is on our side. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's not just if God be for him, who can be against him, but if God be for us. So I'm not going to trade in my heartaches. Because had I never walked through those valleys, I'd have never known the lily of the valley. If I had never experienced that pain and that wounding, then I'd have never known there's a balm in Gilead and there's a healer. I could tell you the stories about him, but I can tell you the stories about him. Amen. It's one thing to read about it in the book. It's another thing when he comes right up beside you and walks you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you didn't fear any evil because he was with me. His rod, his staff, it comforted me. He prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Amen. He anointed my head with oil. And you know what? My cup's running over. Amen. I've got no sad stories to tell. His grace is sufficient. Let me give you these things and I'll be done. How can I do that? How can I be that? Well, it's right here in the Bible. Verse 6 says, how can you do it? Verse 6 tells us of the virtue of the man of God. God expects for us to be men of virtue. Notice what he said in verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. As a minister of Jesus Christ, I am to be, you are to be, the example of Christian virtue. He says what that is right here. We're to be pure. And let me just give you a little reminder. He told Timothy there, sometimes you're going to have to keep thyself pure. Amen. Now, when I was a little boy, my mother had a big job of keeping me pure. I would be playing in church while the choir was singing, and I'd be goofing off in my pew, not keeping myself pure, and just living like a heathen, and Mama be in the choir. And I remember Mama taught us sign language when we were little, and she could look down from the alto section, and she could give you one of those. That meant you. And she'd give you one of those. She didn't do it a lot. She wanted to be very, very discreet, but that right there was a whipping. There wasn't no getting out of it because she could recognize me anywhere. I just as well prepare myself. Because when that choir came down and everybody, let's take a time of fellowship and shaking hands. There wasn't no shaking hands going on with me and Mama. I was doing a lot of shaking. Sometimes you're going to have to keep yourself pure. Mama don't follow me around no more with a switch. Thank God. But nobody else is going to follow you around either. Nobody else is going to be sitting in the office with you. Nobody else is going to be studying with you. Nobody else is going to make you not click. Amen. Nobody else is going to make you not swipe and sample. Are you listening? Amen. And we expect for God to fill vessels like that. We expect for God, look, we've got everybody fooled but God. And then it's not going to be long before you don't have everybody fooled, because they know what the Bible says, that a man of God is supposed to be. And when we're not that, there's something wrong. Something's wrong. By pureness, by knowledge, you know. You know when you're right with God. You know when you're not right with God. You know when that Spirit of God within you is quenched and grieved. I'm telling you, if you're saved tonight, you know what I'm talking about. I can't look, say, hear, listen, act, react in any sort of way without the Holy Ghost of God either being pleased or displeased. And if He's pleased, I know it. If He's displeased, I know it. And listen, you and I have got a responsibility to be pure, to be men of virtue. And He said, by knowledge, by long-suffering. That's self-explanatory. We would like for the pain to be quick and over with. And we'd like to write all the details down so we can share it with everybody. But sometimes you got to go through it for a long time. Let me just throw this out at you real quick. No matter how long the suffering lasts in this side of eternity, it's nothing to be compared, Paul said, with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can I tell you something? Everybody, preacher, everybody may not know what you and your family go through. To be the big shot pastors that we get to be. They don't know what you go through to endure, to hold that title. But I'm going to tell you, whatever you have to go through, it's nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Can I remind you, God's keeping a good record. Amen. He's got a good record-keeping ability. He's keeping a record. And I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a day, and if you get to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that's going to be the greatest sentence you've ever heard in your life. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And he said, by long-suffering, be virtuous, by... What else he say there? Kindness? Oh, that's for Sunday school teachers. We're supposed to be raw dog and bad to the bone. That's not what the Bible says. Not what the Bible says. The Bible says kind. I wonder how many of our church members would put that at the top of the... Describe your pastor Sunday. We ought to have that. Let's have describe your pastor Sunday. Pass out papers. I wonder how many of our greatest virtues would be listed before they put kind. Kind. Oh, we want them to say things like powerful preacher. We want them to say sharp. We want them to say knowledgeable of the scriptures. And I don't see any virtue in that yet. What about kind? I'm afraid that we're afraid to be kind. Because if we're kind, somebody's going to run us over. They'll crucify us, preacher. Kind of like our Savior, maybe. Maybe. By the Holy Ghost, that's the only way we're going to get anything done. And by love unfeigned, that is not faking it. That, we looked at the virtue, but we got to have this. Verse 7. Not only do we see the virtue, but we see the steadfast visitation of divine assistance. Verse 7, he said, by the word of truth. Amen. You, above all others, ought to be in and using the Word of God. Amen. It is not fair for you and me to preach that everybody should read their Bible and a preacher is not reading his Bible. You're not going to be a man of God without the Word of God. You're not going to be a man of God without saturating yourself in the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, O Lord, is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What about your Bible, friend? They sang about it a while ago. What about your Bible, your experience with the Bible? Amen. He said, by the word of truth, by the power of God. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of parts of this. You can fake it till you make it, but you won't fake that. You won't fake that. Amen, that's right. If you don't believe me, you ask the seven sons of Sceva. We're just going to go in there and we just, you know, quote what they quoted. We'll do what they did. And they got their clothes beat off of them. The Bible said they ran out naked and wounded. The devil's not interested in just shaming you. He wants to hurt you. God help us. He said, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. We need divine assistance from God. We need the armor of righteousness. Now, this is kind of a summary of the whole armor of God. But the armor of righteousness, our lives ought to be testimonies. What you see first in me ought to be the righteousness that I'm living by. The standards that I uphold. Oh, listen, I know standards is a bad word in 2023, but God's men have to have standards. God's men have to uphold what God has taught us to uphold. The Word of God has not changed. If you want the power of God on your life, you're going to have to do it God's way and quit trying to do it your way, or quit trying to do it one way on one day and one day another way on another day. Hell no. He said you need the armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left. Amen. And you got your valleys in verse number 8. And you're going to face valleys. You're going to face valleys. But somebody said, don't forget that a valley is just a little low place between two mountaintops. We're going to go through those valleys. Preacher, man of God, you're going to go through the valley. But when you go through the valley, be steadfast. Notice verse number 8. By honor and dishonor. Everybody's not going to always pat you on the back. Sometimes they're not going to recognize you. Sometimes they're not going to appreciate you. Sometimes you're just going to preach a little long for their liking, or a little harsh for their liking, or a little too much for their liking. Well, I got news for you. Last time I checked, I didn't get called by them. Amen. Amen. I'm not trying to sound egotistical or arrogant, but I've got a message to preach from Thus Saith the Lord, and I'm going to answer to Him. Amen. And by the way, be sure that you have a message from the Lord. Not just a 45-minute or an hour-long rambling of your pathetic studying. Amen. God help us. The valleys, He said, in honor and dishonor. In an evil report or a good report. How can you handle those? Anybody ever say anything about you that was wrong? Amen. Anybody ever say anything about you that was right? I'm afraid sometimes we handle what they say wrong about us better than we handle what they say right about us. They say something wrong about us, we're like, well, praise the Lord, I'll just, you know, endure, carry them across, all the rest. They say something right about us, we go buy a new suit. Thought y'all needed to know that. Amen. I'm everything they said I was and a little bit more. God help us. He said, as deceivers and yet true. Boy, people misunderstand you. People are going to say all things about you. You're going to face some valleys, but it's in those valleys that people see your true colors. Then he said in verse number 9, the vexations that you're going to feel. Well, I tell you, some things are worse because of how I feel about them. He said in verse 9, as unknown. I remember being a young preacher, going to meetings. I'd sit on the front row. I was hoping, they used to call preachers from the floor. You know, so we're going to have young preachers preach 5 minutes apiece. Man alive, that was exciting. And it seemed like every time I was there, they didn't do that. I'm going to tell you what, I'd be scared to death right now if they called me from the floor. It's about what happened, wasn't it? I just about got called from the floor. But the fact is, you may not be known It don't matter. It don't matter. That's not what matters. What matters is being well known. He said, you're not known in some circles, but there's a circle where you're well known. Amen? There's some circles, young man, that you can be well known in, and it may not be this circle, but that's okay. There's another circle that we can be well known in. Amen. That's right. He said, as dying, and behold, we live. It's not always going to be about your comfort level. It's not always going to be about the convenience that you experience. It's not always going to be about your liking if you're going to be a man of God. Sometimes you got to die. Some of the greatest men of God in the Word of God died a horrible death. But can I tell you, every man of God in the Bible besides Enoch died. This show is not about us. This is not about us. I heard an Irish preacher say one time, he said, God was doing quite well before you came on the scene. And when you're gone, He'll do quite nicely. Vexations. Boy, we feel it. We don't want to be unknown. We don't want to die off and people not remember our name. We want them to remember our name. All that. That's not what we're about. Finally, verse 10. There's victory that you can enjoy. He said, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. That's a choice you're going to make. Preacher, you got sorrows. Preacher, you got sorrows. Preacher, men of God, you got sorrows. But we could lean on that. Fill everybody's bucket with tears. But you know who we're representing? Us. But whenever we hold our head up high and we give God the glory, and we shout the victory anyway. Amen. Amen, that's right. And I know she wasn't a preacher, but Miss Biddle used to say you can shout your way out of most problems. Amen. You can shout. You ought to try it sometimes. Oh, I lose my dignity. Oh, it's a blast. It's a blast. Amen. The victory you can enjoy. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. How's it going?
Well, you ain't got time.
It's good to see you.
Good to be seen.
Amen. Lord, don't let me catch what they got. How about always rejoicing? It's all they'll think I'm pretending. I'd rather think that than to be drugged down with me into whatever I was in. Only ones who are victorious are going to and have tasted the victory are going to be able to give Him the glory that He deserves. The Bible said, as poor, yet making many rich. But God, we want that to be the other way around. We want this to enrich us. We see brother so-and-so and what he's driving, and we want to drive, and we want to, that's not what we're here for. If it costs me to be a man of God, and it will, it's okay. As long as I can help further you a little bit further on your journey, amen. I'll be laying up treasures in heaven. Moth and rust doesn't corrupt. Thieves don't break through or steal. I'm just about done. Thank you for your time. The victory that you can enjoy. He said, as having nothing. As having nothing. As having nothing. How's your retirement plan going? I don't have nothing. How are your finances, man of God? Well, that's never been really part of the package. And it's okay if yours is. That's fine. It don't compare to the retirement that we have. Amen. He said, the glory which shall be revealed in us is much more highly desirable than anything that you could tangibly receive down here on this planet. Amen. Notice what he says. He says, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. I don't know if you've caught on to this or not, but you're looking at a wealthy man in an eternal worldview. I'm extremely, eternally wealthy. There's not a whole lot down here that we really need to get interested in gaining. But there's a whole lot over yonder that you can lay up, lay up, lay up. And it's going to cost you. I'm not going to pretend it's not. There's going to be tears that are hot on your cheeks at night as you lay in the bed. There's going to be times that you can't even go to sleep. There's going to be times that you wrestle around, finally get up, and you spend the night walking the halls and pray. It's going to be hard. You're going to be poor. You're going to be in a valley. You're going to be on the in the sights of the enemy. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be thrown down. You're going to have things thrown at you. But that's part of being a man of God. Can we stand together? It's okay if I give an invitation. Our conversation is in heaven. Later in this chapter, he says to the same crowd, come out from among them and be separate. I'm calling on men of God to separate yourself from the average preacher. Make the decision to stop living after the idols of your flesh. Stop worshiping at the altars that are built at your own feet. God wants to make a man of God out of somebody. He said, I sought for a man among them. In other words, he had a lot to choose from, but when he got to looking, there wasn't really anything to choose from. There's a lot of them, but how many of them are men of God? How many of them are willing to do what it takes, to sacrifice what it's going to cost? The Bible says in Psalm 104 that he makes his ministers a flaming fire. God expects us to be more than just preachers, but to be men of God, operating and functioning as steadfast men of God. We've got enough hirelings. There's enough performers. When we need the fire to fall, they're going to be looking for a man of God. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Faithful till death, said our loving Master. He was. We should be too. Young men that are called, let no man despise thy youth, be thou an example. Our churches will be changed when a man of God's in the pulpit. Our ministries will be different when a man of God's in the pulpit.